the touch of the Master's hand. We read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 41 regarding this leprous man. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Last week we noted how the four evangelists present to us the Lord Jesus Christ. We noted that Mark, in his gospel, presents to us the Lord Jesus as the servant in toil. In Matthew, we see Christ as the sovereign upon the throne. In Luke, we see Christ as the sacrifice upon the tree. And in John, we see Christ as the Son risen in triumph. But Mark, in a very unique way, presents the Lord Jesus as the servant in toil. And in this first chapter of Mark's gospel, we are given an example of the tireless ministry of this divine servant. Following his ministry in the synagogue in Capernaum, we are told that he immediately entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, verse 29. There is no respite for him, because we read that at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. Verse 32. So he has preached in the synagogue, he has healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then we're told at even, as the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and he healed them all. He closed out that day of healing the disease and casting out devils. His next day of service began very early in the morning. For verse 35, we're told, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And so the Lord Jesus worked the previous day right up until the setting of the sun. And even at the time of the setting of the sun, he was still ministering. Then we are told, in the morning, rising up a great while before day. He didn't have, as we say, a lie-in, but rather he rose up a great while before day and went out into a solitary place and prayed. Following his time of prayer, he traveled from town to town, preaching and casting out devils. Verse 39. Traveling from town to town, village to village, preaching the word and casting out devils. And then we're told he attends to the need of this leper. Tireless in his labor, the Savior made full proof of his ministry. And looking at the Lord in this chapter, we have an example of his all-round ministry. For after he called his first disciples, he entered into the synagogue in Capernaum, verses 21 and 22. There we behold him as the great preacher of the word. The great preacher of the word. And we see how the faithful preaching of the word disturbed the devil. For in verse 23 we read, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him. You see, whenever there's the faithful preaching of the word, that'll disturb the devil. And this man was possessed with an unclean spirit. Preach the word and you'll disturb the devil and you'll expose that which is unclean. This man with an unclean spirit was exposed. And the Lord rebuked that unclean spirit. He's the great preacher of the word. And then in verses 31 to 34, he's not only the great preacher of the word, but he's the great physician at work. And after his exhausting day of work, we're told, as we've already noted, he went into a solitary place and there prayed, verse 35. So he's not only the great preacher of the word and the great physician at work, he's also the great prayer warrior. That's how the Lord began his day of ministry, in prayer. Indeed, you look at the Lord's ministry, especially in Luke's gospel, and you'll find that the Lord Jesus bathed his every step with prayer. He carried on his ministry with prayer. And his preaching took him throughout all Galilee, and it was then that he met this leper. And it was there that that leper experienced the touch of the Master's hand. Because when the Lord Jesus saw him and heard his petition, we're told the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him, touched the leper. And said, "I will, be thou clean." The touch of the Master's hand. So let us consider tonight the Lord and the leper. We notice first of all the leper and his trust in Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give us a record of this incident. Mark gives us the fullest account. But Matthew informs us that prior to the meeting with the leper, Matthew 8 verse 2, that there was a great multitude that followed Christ. Great multitude followed him. Then we read, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." Matthew 8, verse 3. Or, as Mark records it, "And there came a leper unto him." So we have this picture of a multitude of people. And they've been following the Lord and they're listening to his ministry. And out of that multitude comes an individual who was a leper. Probably was not in the multitude because of his leprosy, but he was somewhere in the vicinity. And while there was a multitude there, this man, this individual, we're told, came to Christ. The thought is that from this multitude, this poor leprous man came to the Lord. It is always good to read and to hear of souls plagued with the leprosy of sin making their way to Christ. Doesn't this show us that the worst of sinners may come to Christ and he will receive them? There's not one soul that has ever come to Christ that the Lord has turned away. But the Lord Jesus receives all comers. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. But looking at this poor soul, this leper, who came to Christ, we notice first of all his fate. His fate in life was that he was a leper. And what horrors are bound up in that word of five letters, leper. Let me read to you just a few lines of a description of someone who has leprosy, written by an individual who's been to the Holy Land or did in years gone by and saw lepers firsthand. This was his description of a leper. The hair falls from the head and eyebrows. The nails loosen, decay, and fall off. Joint after joint of the fingers and toes shrink and slowly fall away. The gums are absorbed and the teeth disappear. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, and the palate are slowly consumed. Could you imagine having leprosy? Leprosy is nothing more than a horrible, lingering death. Leprosy means disfigurement. Leprosy means desolation because the leper must dwell alone. Leprosy means death, for death is inevitable. But there is another word behind which is found a catalogue of sorrow and suffering and shame, and that word is sin. If leprosy is a horrible disease, it's nothing compared to the disease of sin. And every man and woman and child suffers from this disease. For Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned, all, and come short of the glory of God. And as leprosy is hideous and horrible, so is sin in the eyes of a holy and a righteous God. Doesn't matter how well dressed up an individual may be. Doesn't matter if the woman has on the finest dress and the man is wearing the finest civil row suit. In the eyes of God, they are diseased with the disease of sin. Do you want to know how God sees a sinner? What God sees when he looks upon a man or a woman who has never been to the cross and has never been cleansed and washed in the blood. Do you know what God sees? This is what God sees. Isaiah 1. And there we read in verse 4. Speaking about a sinful people. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. Listen, this is how God sees the sinner. He says, the whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, the sinner is seen by God as a mass of running sores. Not a very pretty picture. Yet that's how God sees man. Just as man would look upon a leper and see that disfigured form, that mass of putrefaction, that's how God sees man. And this leper knew that there was only one person who had the power to cleanse him of his foul disease and make him whole. That leper knew there was but one Savior. There was but one physician. And that's why he came to Christ. And so it is with the sinner. A mass of putrefying sores. The sinner has only one Savior. One Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. That was the fate of this man. We notice, secondly, his focus. Look there at verse 40. The verse 40 of Mark 1, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see the use of the personal pronoun. He came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him. Matthew tells us he came and worshipped him. And we are told that he said unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Does that not show us where this man's focus was? He was focused on Christ. The disciples were there. He didn't go to the disciples and ask them for healing. No, he came to Christ, he besought Christ, he kneeled down to Christ, and he said unto Christ, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That was his focus. You ever tried to convince someone to focus on Christ? Have you ever tried to convince a sinner, if you can even convince them they are sinners, and tell them that they need to be saved? They don't focus on the Lord. They focus on their self-righteousness. You tell them they need Christ, and what do? They say, but I have my church. But I was confirmed. But I have been baptized. But I am a good neighbor. I am a good mother. I am a good father. The focus on all these things, and all these things are all very good, but none of them will save the soul. None of them will wash away sin. They need to focus on Christ, the one and only Savior. Listen to this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. And if a man or a woman is to be cleansed from the running sores of sin, there's only one person can work that miracle, and that one person is Christ. The sinner needs to focus on him. He's the sinner's only savior. He's the lost's only hope. He's the diseased only healer. He's the lonely man's only companion. He's the sorrowing's only comfort. He's the sinner's only redeemer. Praise his name. So we have his fate as a leper. We have his focus on Christ. Then we have his faith. When this leper came to Christ, notice what he said. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He really said two things. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper believed the Lord Jesus had the power to make him clean. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst. There was no doubt about that in his mind. He believed that the Lord could make him clean. And when you look at the words of the other physician, Luke describes this leper as a man who was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. And yet, the man believed the Lord could cleanse him and make him whole. He who went about the streets with torn garments, because that's how a leper had to dress, he was to tear his garments, and he was to cry out, unclean, unclean. And yet this man believed that the Lord Jesus could cleanse him of his leprosy, could cleanse him, to cleanse his body that was full of leprosy. That's what he believed. He put his faith, he put his trust in Christ. The man who is to be saved and cleansed from their leprosy of sin, they must put their faith and trust in Christ. Come believing. Come believing. That's how this man came to Christ. He came believing that the Lord could heal him. How many there are today who are plagued with the leprosy of sin? Have they not heard that Christ is able to save the leper, to cleanse that person from all of their sin, no matter how sinful they are? Doesn't matter. Would you be free, we can say to them, from your burden of sin? Sure, there's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood of Christ to wash a sinner from all his sin. Every single sin. There's power in the blood. As Paul has said, Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. My, that leprous man experienced the riches of the Lord's grace that day. When the Lord, the great master, put forth his hand and the man was healed. The touch of the master's hand. There are many today need the touch of the master's hand. So we have the leper and his trust in Christ. We notice also the leper and the touch of Christ. No sooner had the leper cried out to the Lord than we read these words, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. What do we learn from this touch of the master's hand? First of all, it was the touch of compassion. The touch of compassion. The leper cried out, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. So when the Lord reached out and touched the man, it was the touch of compassion. Such was the heart of Christ that day, that he had to do something and heal this man. You know, we hear of all kinds of tragedies in the world today. Seems though every day the news tells us about the Muslim extremists and how they torture individuals and behead them and cut off hands and cut off arms. When we first heard those stories, we were aghast. We said, that is terrible. How can anyone do that to a fellow human being? But how do we feel about it now? Are we shocked now as we were months ago when we first heard about these atrocities? I don't think so. Oh, we say that's terrible, but then we go on to the next news item. See? We're gradually getting used to it. But like the troubles in Ulster, for 35 years they went on. When the troubles started and the bombs exploded and our security forces were murdered, we were shocked. But when it goes on for 35 years, tend to get used to it. But I want you to look at the Lord. And the Lord Jesus saw all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, and he never got used to it. We are told at the close of the previous day, many were brought to him, the diseased and those possessed with devils, and he healed them. And now after that, he sees one man, he sees a leper. And when the Lord looks upon the leper, we're told Jesus moved with compassion. Didn't matter how many times he saw poor souls, their bodies wrecked with pain and disease and corruption, the Lord was still moved with compassion. He never got used to it. And he hasn't changed. When we're laid aside, he still is compassionate toward us as he was 2,000 years ago when he walked the dusty roads of Galilee. He was moved with compassion. In fact, as I went through the Gospels, I found something interesting with regard to the compassion of Christ. I discovered that on seven different occasions, we read about the Lord being moved with compassion. Now, no doubt, he showed compassion to others at other times, on many occasions, but the Gospels record for us seven different occasions when the Lord was moved with compassion. First of all, Matthew 9, verse 36, Matthew 14, verse 14, Matthew 15, and verse 32. On those three occasions we read, the Lord was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. He saw the multitude, saw on one occasion the multitude as sheep having no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. One other occasion, the multitude had been with him for 3 days and they had nothing to eat, and we're told he was moved with compassion. Three different times we read he was moved with compassion toward the multitude. In Luke 7, verse 13, we read he was moved with compassion and had compassion on a maid. Not only compassion on the multitudes, but compassion on a maid. And then we read that he had compassion on certain men. Matthew 20, verse 34, Mark 5, verse 19, and here Mark 1, verse 41. He had compassion on the multitudes, he had compassion on a maid, and he had compassion on men. Now, we all know what the number 7 means in the Bible. The number 7 means completeness. The number 7 means that which is perfect. And here we have the Lord Jesus. And when he saw this leper, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with perfect, complete compassion. We may see someone in need and our heart goes out to them, but it doesn't go out to them completely. The heart of Christ went out to this leprous man completely, perfectly. Compassion showed by Christ for the poor, lost, needy soul was real, and it was genuine, and it was perfect. There was nothing lacking in the compassion of Christ. This is the Christ that I believe in. This is the Christ I endeavor by his grace to preach. A Christ who has a love for sinners. A Christ who has a love for poor, unclean, leprous men. Because when he sees a sinner, he's moved with compassion. We should never doubt the love of Christ. Sure, we've only to look to the cross. We see the love of Christ exhibited there. Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 20, the Son of Man loved me. But he doesn't stop there. The Son of Man loved me and gave himself for me. There's the compassion that Christ has for sinners. Who would love and have compassion on a poor, vile, unclean leper? Christ did. Who would love a poor, vile, unclean sinner like me? Christ did. Seeing him reach out his hand and touch the leper, we can believe it. Nobody else would dare lay a hand on a leper. They're so vile, so unclean. As I pointed out before, if a rabbi was walking down the street and he saw a leper coming up the same street, the rabbi would turn around and go home another way. Wouldn't even walk down the same street as a leper. And yet here we read the Lord Jesus touched a leper. It's the touch of the Master's hand. This was the touch of compassion. This was also the touch of consent. Remember again the words of the leper. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt. Maybe the leper looked upon himself and saw himself as being so unclean that maybe it wouldn't be the Lord's will to heal such a vile, leprous man. Maybe that's what was in his mind. But he did say, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed the Lord could cleanse him. But he said, if thou wilt. He believed in the power of Christ, but he wasn't sure about the permission of Christ. If thou wilt. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched him. The fact that the Lord put forth his hand and touched him was an indication that the Lord consented to heal him. It was the touch of consent. Not only the touch of compassion, but the touch of consent. The Lord was saying, I will. The fact that he reached out and touched the man, he was saying to the man, it's all right. I will heal thee. That was the touch of consent. That touch revealed to the leper the willingness of the Lord to heal. And there's never been a seeking soul who's come to the Lord Jesus and saying to the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, that the Lord has said, I will not. He's never said that. I will not. Never has he said that. Didn't he say as much? John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Then he goes on to say, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. All, not just some, not just those who walk, as it were, in the clean side of the broad road, if there is such a thing. No, he says, all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what this leper was. He was a cast out. It was a cast out of society. But the Lord said, I will. Yes, I will heal thee. Be thou clean. You may wonder, would the Lord save me? He says, I will. You may wonder, will the Lord cleanse me? And he says, I will. You may wonder, would the Lord deliver me from hell and take me to heaven? And the Lord says, yes, I will. So there needs not to be any reluctance on any man's part in coming to Christ, because the Lord says, I will be thy clean. It was also the touch of confirmation. Not the confirmation you get in the Anglican church. The touch of confirmation. The Lord had instituted certain laws regarding the treatment of lepers. One of those ceremonial laws declared that a leper was regarded as being unclean. And if any person were to touch a leper, they would become unclean. So how do we explain this then? Did the Lord break the law of God? No, of course he didn't. The Lord Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So how then can we explain this? You turn to Leviticus chapter 13. And in Leviticus 13, and we read there in verse 44, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. That's what the law declared regarding the leper. Now you go back to Leviticus 5, and Leviticus 5 and verse 2, again regarding the leper, or if a soul touch any unclean thing. We've just seen the leper is unclean. If a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. And if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. So the touching of that which was unclean, the leper was unclean, would make the person unclean as well. So we have a double-barreled problem, if you like. By the Lord touching the leper, did that make him unclean? When the Lord touched the leper, did that mean he broke the law? No, of course not. There's nothing unclean about Christ. The devil has nothing in him. So how do we explain this? It was interesting to read all the different commentators and what they had to say. And the majority of them said that it was all right for the Lord to touch the unclean leper, because after all, he is God and the Lord Jesus cannot become unclean. That's true. That is true. But I looked at it and it wasn't really a satisfactory answer. And so I looked again and discovered the grammatical construction of the original Greek shows that it wasn't the touch of Christ that healed him. Remember again what happened? The Lord touched him and said, "Be thou clean." And the grammatical construction of these words indicate that when the Lord Jesus said, "Be thou clean," the man was cleansed from his leprosy before he touched him. And so when the Lord touched the leper had already been cleansed from his leprosy. He had already been cleansed from his uncleanness. And the fact that the Lord touched him confirmed that very thing. It was the touch of confirmation. And so all who had been standing around watching, and all who would have been familiar with the law of God regarding the leper, when they saw the Lord Jesus touch the leper, they would have known the leper must have been cleansed before the Lord touched him. The man himself, of course, knew all about the change that had taken place in his life. What does it say? "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken," mark that, "as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him." In other words, the Lord spoke the word and cleansed him. That's the power of the Lord's word. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. When the Lord touched him, it was the touch of confirmation for all to see, this man has been cleansed. They could see it in the touch of Christ. They could see it in the fact the man was cleansed from his leprosy. And nobody knew it better apart from the Lord than the leper himself. He knew he'd been cleansed. You see, my friend, whenever a man gets saved, that person knows they're saved. When that person has been cleansed from his sin, he knows it. The little chorus says, "I was there when it happened, so I ought to know." And finally, and very briefly, we've seen his touch of compassion, the touch of consent. The Lord said, "I will." And then you have the touch of cleansing. The man was cleansed. And we have that word again that we find so often in Mark's gospel. Immediately. Just like salvation happens just like that. Immediately. It's not something you grow into. We're born again. And this man got exactly what he asked for. He said, "If thou wilt, make me clean." And verse 40 says, and he was cleansed. Sinner comes to Christ and say, "Lord, save me." And the Lord will save him. Sinner comes to Christ and says, "Lord, wash me in the blood." And the Lord will wash him in the blood. In the last place, we have the leper and the teaching of Christ. We haven't time to develop this, but you'll notice, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, "See thou say nothing to any man." That word, charge, it is a very strong word. the Lord charged him solemnly. That's what it means, strictly. It means to charge strictly. And the Lord strictly charged him, saying, "See, thou tell no man." That was the Lord's message. You see, whenever you felt the touch of the Lord's hand upon you, the Lord has saved you, the first thing you have to learn to do is obey the Lord. What did the Lord say to his first disciples? He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. Follow me. You don't follow your own ways. You don't follow your own ways, your own word, your own will. You follow me. That's what the first thing the Lord told his first disciples. Follow me. Indeed, the word disciple means a trained one. And we follow Christ because we want to be trained by him. And in being trained by the Lord, we need to be ready to obey the word. This man was given a message from the Lord. "See thou tell no man." And we see his mistake. He was told to go and show himself unto the priest, which was the law regarding the leper, and the priest would pronounce him clean, and then offerings and sacrifices would be made. But what do we read in verse 45? "But he went out and began to blaze it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places." It's always good to obey the Lord. It's always good to obey the Lord when he says speak. It's good to obey the Lord when he tells us not to speak. And this man, you can understand his joy had been cleansed of his leprosy, but nevertheless he was to obey the Lord. And he didn't do it. And the Lord's work, in a sense, suffered as a result. Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. That was why the Lord told him to tell no man. Because he knew his fame would spread more and more, and it would be a hindrance to him going into all these other cities. And so where did he go? He went into the desert place. The people came unto him. It was a mistake for the man to say anything. Sometimes we make that mistake too. We speak when we shouldn't speak. Nevertheless, this man, this leper, experienced the touch of the Master's hand. And may we ever learn to obey the Lord's word. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, our Father and eternal and gracious God, we thank thee again for the word. Encouraging word. Shows us how the Lord is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's able to save all that come unto him. All who come, he will never turn them away. Oh Lord, I pray that thou will use the word tonight to call men to thyself, that they also may experience the touch of the Master's hand in salvation. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other tonight. Grant us all traveling mercy. Keep us safe. And bless us throughout this week. Keep us looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.